He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds can come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray for me and with me. But before I do that, I want to just say one thing. Kids are going back to school this week. I don't know anything more important in our community than that. And this experience of COVID is an accordion experience. And this summer, we've been out here, and it's felt looser and more freedom. And as the rates go up, the accordion begins to compress, and some people will feel that compression more deeply than others, has been my experience. But we're going to keep working together as a unified group of people, both in this church and this community. And I want to remind you of what Joshua heard from the Lord in Joshua chapter 1. And to parents and to children and to anybody who's joining, no matter what stage of life, but especially if you're going back to school, I want you to hear this. The Lord said to Joshua in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous." And this week, we're all of us, we're going to be strong and courageous. And we're going to encourage one another. We're going to encourage these parents. We're going to encourage these teachers. We're going to encourage these children. And we're going to work as unified whole. And we're not going to work against each other in the important work that's happening in our community. Amen? That's who we're going to be as a church. I didn't even hear that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I just think that's who we've got to be. Now, that's the what. I'm about to preach about the how. How do we do that? That's what the sermon's about. Would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Lord, I want to pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and I pray that every person in the sanctuary of every age would hear a word from you. Every child, every adult, everyone in between would hear something that would be a blessing to their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, boys and girls, those of you who came in and you received one of these cards or you looked in your bag, pull out this little vial, okay? Pull that out, literally look at it right now. Come on, lift it up. You can lift it up, look at it. I want you to look at this little dot. Did you all get these when you came in? Did you get a card? On the way out? No. Oh, that's terrible news for me. That will be different at 11 maybe. But it's not a problem. But it's not a problem. Because we are working together. Amen? So, wow. Okay, boys and girls who have the vials, would you pull the vials out? Would you hold the vials above your head? Show the vial to the people around you. Just hold it up like, oh, look, we have a picture. You are a genius in the booth. Anybody know what that is up on the screen? It's a mustard seed. That's exactly right. What is the number one thing you notice about the mustard seed as you see it? What is it? What do you think? It is what? I heard tiny. I heard small. I may have heard incy. I'm not sure, but I thought I heard incy. But it's tiny. It's small. Sorry? Microscopic. That, wow, you're going to school. I don't know who said that, but you're virtually a genius. You're the reason that Flourish Church is so smart. So the point is this. The point is this. It looks small. Here's what I want to tell you. It only looks small. Okay? Well, now, there's something else inside the little vial, and it is a little glass jar. Those are grains of yeast. And what's the number one thing you would say about those? Also microscopic, also small, also teeny. It's just small, little. They look so small. And yet, what Jesus said is, these small things are powerful. Small things are often unnoticed. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to read the same text that Margaret just read, is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is just like that mustard seed that someone took it and planted it in the field, the smallest of all seeds, says Jesus. But when it's grown, becomes what? The largest of all vegetable plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds in the sky come and nest in its branches. I want you to think about a verdant tree, a beautiful tree, and the birds make their homes there. In the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, is like, in this parable, is like a yeast which the woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough. All the dough. It's just amazing. Now, take a look at the tree again. Let's show them the tree again. The mustard tree. I don't know if the mustard tree gets that big. But if it does, isn't that amazing? But it gets big. How about the bread? Do we have a loaf of bread on the photograph? Wow, doesn't that look good? Wouldn't you like to eat that? And what causes the dough to rise and make that loaf is those little tiny grains of yeast. Just little grains of yeast make the dough rise when they're put in that flour. And this is what Jesus, and the reason I'm showing you the pictures is many of you don't have gardens. And your parents may or may not make bread, so you may have never seen this before. We sort of, in our society, things just come produced. But that's not really how it happens. They have to grow. They have to be baked in things. And so I want you to see this, because I know, you know, we often don't see the process. I don't see the process. So why is this important? Because Jesus says that these little things do these powerful things. Now, he said the kingdom of heaven is like. So we have to ask ourselves what Jesus is talking about here. In another part of the scripture, Jesus will say faith is like. That's not what he says here. He says the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven, boys and girls, if you got a Bible today, I want you to hear this, because this is why I've asked you to read Matthew 5 through 7. I want you to hear this. When you and I do the things that Jesus asks us to do, we experience the kingdom of heaven. That's when the kingdom of heaven becomes alive to us. When we actually do the things that Jesus asks us to do. And I've asked you to read Matthew 5 through 7 because the Sermon on the Mount is a block of Jesus' teaching that in the third grade, you will be able to understand most of it. You'll be able to act on most of it. Some of it may be for later in life, but for right now, there's a whole lot there that can start to influence your life. Now, how is it that Jesus' teaching becomes alive? Notice that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven. So I want to show you a stained glass window. This is a stained glass window. Stained glass is when they take pieces of glass and they fit them together. See, our students, each of those little blocks is held in place by a piece of lead. You see the black lines of the lead that are holding the glass in place? And this is a portrait of Jesus. And what's Jesus have on his head? A crown. And if we could see a broader picture of Jesus, he'd probably be holding something in his hand. He'd be holding a scepter. So I show you that just to say, when Jesus becomes the king, the authority figure. Now, can I tell you something else about that particular picture that I don't like? Is it makes Jesus look like a white guy, and he's not. What's really hard about images of Jesus that have been made in the West is they're almost always made in our image, meaning a white person who made that made it in their image. Jesus actually was from a place called Palestine. His skin was probably more on a brown olive tone. His hair was probably black. It was definitely not blonde. So I'm pointing that out intentionally to you because you need to be able to look through the lens to understand who our Lord is. And our Lord isn't any one of us. Our Lord is above all of us. Amen? Does that make sense? Now, I want you to see, though, the crown image. You can take that down, the crown image, because when Jesus becomes an authority in our lives, Jesus becomes a ruler. Jesus has authority. And so what that means is you'll start living your life that when you read Jesus say certain things, you'll say, you know what, I'm going to do that because Jesus has authority in my life. And that's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian is not just walk around and say, I believe in Jesus. It means we actually live our life as Jesus lived. We live our lives the way Jesus would live it if Jesus was us. We start to do the things that he said were really important. That's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus teaches us to live in a certain way that is different from most of my instincts. I want to tell you that as I've read the Bible throughout my life, it continues to challenge my instincts about how to do things. And I'll give you an example. If somebody says something really mean about you and you learn about it, you know what Jesus says to do? Anybody know? It's called turn the other cheek. If someone slaps you on this cheek, Jesus says, just turn that cheek. Don't hit back. Don't yell back. Don't push back. Just turn the other cheek and let it go and show your strength in that way. Jesus says, you know what? We're going to love our enemies rather than trying to hurt them. He teaches us to be generous, to learn to pray and communicate with God. Jesus teaches us to live simply. Jesus tells us that we can trust God, that if God is looking over the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, so the Lord has you in mind, has counted the hairs on your head. You're going to read all this in the Sermon on the Mount when you do that today. Jesus says not to judge others or use words that hurt other people. And we want to plant the seeds of Jesus' teaching in our lives because when we do, when we plant those seeds in our society, it changes things. It changes how we relate to each other, and it changes some of the biggest problems that we have as, when I say a society, that's like when you go to school and there's all those students there, that's like a little society that you're living in. And the way people treat people in that place when the other students are there, parents, the way you treat other parents in the parent society, the way we treat each other in the church, all that stuff, it looks small, these little interactions. But Jesus says it has a profound impact, and when we do it the way he teaches, we enter not just life in Herndon, life in Fairfax County, life in Loudoun County, we enter what? The kingdom of heaven. And that's not, the kingdom of heaven is not out there one day after you die. It's right here, right now, when you and I place Christ as the authority of our life and start doing what he said. You see people do it sometimes. Pretty amazing when you see them do it. This summer, I was in an airport in Detroit. Karen and I had a really early flight, flew into Detroit. The time had changed, so it was still early then when we got there. And in the end of the concourse we went to was virtually empty except for a couple of employees milling around. They were opening up a place to eat and drink. Karen had this big canister that she carries. She makes her tea in it. And she began walking around. She was on the hunt for the hot water. My wife is very frugal. She's very frugal. She brought her own tea bag. BYOT. And she's walking around. She's looking for hot water. And she leaves on this little trek. I always get a kick out of her doing this because she always has a little adventure trying to get the hot water. And she comes back a little while later, and she said, hey, you see that woman over there? She pointed to this young woman over there. I said, yeah. She said, wow. She is so nice. She saw me wandering around. She saw me holding my thermos bottle, and she said, she walked up to me. I didn't ask her. She walked up to me. She said, you look like I can help you. How can I help you? She said, I want some hot water. She said, let me help you. And she walked her over, and she said, take it right there. She took the hot water right there. Didn't charge her or anything. Sent her on her way. We were sitting in an area kind of by ourselves. Not much was happening, but as people started coming into the concourse, I noticed this woman. Everybody she greeted, she listened. She was kind. She was bright. She was happy. People left her counter better than when they arrived. People were walking in. They were groggy. They were some of them you could just tell. They had gotten off a long flight. They were not fit for human consumption. Can I say it that way? They just weren't. And yet, whenever she interacted with them, when they walked away, They kind of had shoulders up, a little brighter, a little happier. I went over a little bit later, before we got on our plane, I bought a sandwich. And I walked over, and she treated me the way she had treated everybody else. She was nice. She was enthusiastic. How can I help you? She was pleasant, all that. I mean, you would have thought that it was, you would have thought we were like having Thanksgiving together, not just me buying a sandwich. And I just, at the very end of that transaction, I was, you know, taking care of the payment, and I looked at her and said, hey, can I say something to you? And she said, sure. And I said, my wife, I said, you see that woman over there? You helped her with her tea a few hours ago. And we have secretly been observing you. I said, don't think that's as creepy as it sounds. I said, but we've been watching you, and every single interaction that we've observed, you've been amazing. You've been pleasant, you've been kind, you've been helpful. And people leave this space better than when they arrive because of you, and I want to congratulate you on being so good at what you do. I said, I don't know what motivates you, but it is a blessing. And so thank you. And you know what? It was, you see what she had been doing? What she had been doing all morning? She'd been dropping little mustard seeds. Now, I don't know if she's a Christian, but she sure does act like one. I don't know if she's a Christian. We didn't go into that. Wasn't really time, wasn't really the location to have that conversation at that moment. But you know what? She acted like a person who knew Jesus. And so let's say she didn't know. Doesn't it say something when the people who don't know Jesus act like it, but the people who do know Jesus don't? Amen? Who are we? That's all I'm responsible for. Who are we? And boys and girls, I want you to read that Bible. I want you to read the Gospel of Matthew. I want you to read Matthew 5 through 7. And I want you to begin to say, I'm going to be one of the people who acts like I know Jesus, that Jesus has authority. And whether you're at home today or whether you're here in the sanctuary, the opportunity is the same for every single one of us to sow the seeds. And they look small, but they grow to be a tree. You know, I just said that little compliment to her. What'd that take, 15 seconds? Well, if it was me, it's probably 30, but nonetheless. I could tell when I left, she was like, wow. Because sometimes you wonder if anybody notices, right? Not that you do it to be noticed, but you just wonder, does it matter? The seeds of kindness, the seeds of love, the seeds of encouragement. Because you know what? When we see the other things being sown, it hurts us. When we see people who are unkind, rude, revengeful, treat others harshly or with contempt, it offends our sense of how life should be lived. And this life is too short for such treatment. Small things, great impact. And you may be thinking, I know, especially those of you who just got your Bibles today, you're young, you may be thinking, Reverend Tom, Pastor Tom, I'm too little. That's what I hear kids say a lot. I'm too little. And what I want you to know is you're not little. You're already big. And now how do I know that? Because in that same airport, later, I got up and took a walk, and I walked down the long concourse. And as I'm walking down the long concourse, over to my left, I was sort of on the other side of the, up by the wall. But in the main area of that concourse, there were lots of people at this point. And they were walking, just a herd of people. And most of them were walking in this direction. And I saw, up ahead, I could see like the Red Sea parting for Moses. I could see that the people were parting and separating like this, like there was this flush coming out like this. I was like, what's causing that? And I got up close and next to it, and I looked over. I looked over to the side where it was happening, and I saw a boy who couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old. He was not tall, but he was walking like this. He was going, and he was only looking at his steps. He wasn't looking around. I don't think he even knew there were like a ton of adults around him. He was just going. And because he took intentional steps, all the people, all these adults going places, they just parted around him. And I looked over at that kid and I thought, small kid, big heart. And I want you, you just got your Bible, or maybe you're too young, you haven't even gotten your Bible yet. Maybe you're thinking, I'm too small. I want you to know something, that when you are kind, when you are loving, when you encourage others, you're taking big, intentional steps, and it changes the flow of the people around you. And I'll tell you something about the adults sitting around you. Many of them feel like their lives don't count and that they're too small to do anything to. And friends, we're going into a year where I want to be prophetic for a moment. Our big steps are going to matter this year. If we are strong and courageous, and if we are a blessing to one another, and if we look at one another and say, we're going to keep doing what we've got to do to be safe, to be cared for, to educate our children, and to keep growing in our faith, we can do this. Now, parents, I want to say something very quickly to you. I've got a beautiful long ending to this sermon that we don't have time for anymore. But I'm going to give it to you quickly. Here's what it is. It is important that your children read the Word of God, but it is equally, if not more important, that they see the Word of God being lived in their midst. Every single regret I have as a parent, and my youngest is 21 now, so my area of influence is not done, but it's not nearly as high as it used to be. Every regret I've got as a parent comes out of moments where I acted in ways contrary to the teaching of Jesus Christ, where I sowed discord rather than contentment, where I sowed anger where kindness would have been called for, moments when I created conflict when what my children needed was peace. And every good moment in my parenting is connected to me simply living out the kingdom of heaven in our home. And you know what? I'd like to tell you that I've got hardly any here and a whole bunch over here. That's not the truth. I've got some here and I've got some here, and I hope the balance sheet goes in the right direction. But can I tell you something? If you've got kids in your home right now, nothing is more important than you. If you're a married couple, if you're a single parent, if you're, whatever your life circumstance is, if it includes children, nothing is more important than you actually living out the kingdom of heaven. And that means you have also got to be doing your reading in your Bible to learn what Jesus actually commanded so that you keep the commandments. Amen? All of us. And as a church community, this coming year, we've got to be a space of encouragement, a space of love, a community that says, it's hard. Be strong and courageous, the Lord says. Have I not commanded you? I will be with you. So, these small things, they only look small. They are the power of God in the world through our lives. Amen? Amen.